Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope? Can we give each other hope?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's session on Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu on Radio Africana. It's a wonderful day to be here because it's a very special day. So before we start today's episode, I want to share something very personal. Today is my birthday, August 3rd. Every year, since my transplant, my birthday has meant more than cake or candles. It's a reminder that I am alive because someone somewhere made a decision to give the gift of life. So to my donor family, wherever you are, I honor you today. Your courage gave me time, purpose, and this voice I now use to help others find theirs. So this episode is deeply personal. It's my thank you note to life, to Second Chances. So welcome to Second Chances, your weekly pause for reflection, restoration, and raw truth. I'm Hilaria Asumu, and I'm here with you again, and I'm so glad to be here. Last week, we looked at how silence around our inherited health risk is hurting us. How people are living with genetic conditions they were never warned about. And we highlighted this. Over 8,000 people in the UK are on the transplant list. Nearly 7,000 of them need a kidney. So it is really important right now that we're having this conversation. So today we continue that conversation, but we shift our focus to the emotional cost of staying silent. We're unpacking grief that has no rituals, pain that goes unspoken, and how our silence delays not just healing, but generations of truth. From the shame of chronic illness, the secret we inherit, this is about what happens when we don't talk, and what freedom comes when we finally do. So let's begin our journey today with a music that echoes our theme. And our first music is There's a Place by Nathaniel Bassey. This song tells you how important it is to find that place where you can own, you can call your own, where the people who support you, your support circle, can be found. And here is Nathaniel Bassey, There's a Place. I'll see you back here in a bit. Welcome back. That was There's a Place by Nathaniel Bassey. I hope that helped you to reflect a little bit about where you are. And that song actually invites us into a soft place of reflection, where we consider the spaces where we've hidden our sorrow and spaces where we can find that happiness again. And there is a name that we all call in time of trouble, and that is Jesus. And we can find him in any space that we find ourselves. So, as I was saying earlier on in the last segment, every person I have met on dialysis carries grief. Even I carry grief, but it's not the kind that gets spoken. It is quiet and it's stored and carried on in our bones. As kidney patients, it's really difficult to come to terms with where you are at the moment, with the choices you have to make, with the kind of life you have to live. And it hurts, it really does, especially when somebody has been very active, somebody who's never smoked or drank in their life, and suddenly your life is about making those decisions, and that leaves behind a deep grief in your heart. And even after you get the transplant, it doesn't get any better. You have that. But one thing that keeps you going is that gratitude to your donor family or to your donor for giving a part of themselves, whether living or deceased, for giving a part of themselves for you to continue to live, to have a second chance to make different choices in your life. It is also the grief of missed birthdays, of watching life pass through a hospital window, the grief of losing independence, because you are hooked to the machine for those days when you go in for dialysis, and of needing help to do the things you once did on your own. Some people mourn their old bodies. We don't always say this. We say things like, we move. That's the Nigerian way. It's the African way, isn't it? We move. Yes, but under those words, as an ordinary person looking in, you need to identify the grief. You need to identify where that person is at that point in time. Because we joke a lot. And we also pray. And we also endure. Because people tell you, oh, you must, you know, take heart. Just keep moving, putting one foot in front of the other. When they give you that advice, when we get that advice, because I'm one of them, I cannot separate myself from them. In your heart, you're thinking, so what do I do? Putting my one foot in front of the other, but I'm dying inside. And we rarely stop to say, I am grieving. Not death, but loss. The loss of your life totally. That fear is ever present in your heart. And you're wondering whether you are going to wake up tomorrow morning. Today, I want to give you permission to say, I am not okay. I have lost something. And it matters, because until we name the grief, we cannot heal it. No, we cannot. It festers, it blooms, and then it becomes too hard to handle. So let's talk about what happens when families keep secrets. How many times have you only discovered your family health history after it's too late? And you hear your parents or your auntie goes, oh, auntie had it too, but she never told anyone. Uncle just collapsed one day. We thought it was spiritual. Well, that's where we always go. It's the easiest excuse to use to say, oh, it's his village people. They've attacked him. Nobody thinks about sudden death. Nobody thinks about, you know, the kidney giving way and you having to need an organ. The last session, I did say that we have over 8,000 people on the transplant list, and just almost 7,000 need a kidney transplant. It is that bad. I understand that, you know, people are scared, but there's a kind of silence that's being passed down like inheritance. A culture of don't tell anyone, oh, we don't want anybody to know. And in protecting the family name, we leave the next generation unprepared for what's to come. And it carries on and on and on like that. Who suffers? It's us. We, the African Caribbean community. If you're Asian and you're listening right now, this also concerns you. And as you're listening, make sure you speak to somebody within your either your family or your community. Take the message out. We need to start talking. We need to start sharing. Forget about, oh, that person is going to, you know, laugh at us, or it's a taboo, it's a stigma. We need to move away from that. I understand the fear. I understand the shame. I don't understand the myth. No, I don't. We don't want people to think that there's a curse. We fear gossip. We fear stigma. But hiding the truth, we allow suffering to grow, to continue unchecked. That's on you. It's not on the person. It's not on the patient. It is on you, her family, who have decided that they're going to hide it and not say anything about it. I believe we owe our children more. We owe them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that they can be proactive and not reactive, so they can take tests, ask questions, demand care, so they don't have to learn by surviving. So let's remember that whatever action we take today, it will always come back to bite us in the backside. Let's let this next track hold space for truth. Never Fly Away by Lagbaja featuring Ego, because even what we try to bury stays with us until we face it. So reflect on this, and I'll see you back here in the next segment. Yes, Lagbaja with Never Far Away featuring Ego.
All alone, when I think about the good times that we shared together, baby, I cannot understand how we ever let things fall apart.
That was Never Far Away by Lagbaja, and I hope you enjoyed that and it ministered to you today. So we're moving to our next segment, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about what we discussed in the previous segment. So let me ask you this. What would it look like if we spoke our truth, even when it's uncomfortable or painful? Tell me. How would you feel? I'm not asking you to expose anything, but imagine the power of telling your sibling, your cousin. This runs in our blood. Get checked. Or saying to your child, you need to know what this family has survived. What would it take you to do that? What would it take you to sit down and discuss with your children, with your husband, with your relatives, to talk about any condition that could impact on your children in the future? This is something that we in the African Caribbean community need to start doing, because our children deserve that. We cannot throw them to the wolves and allow them to find out in shock. And then they start to ask themselves questions. Did our parents not love us? Did they feel that we couldn't handle it? I would rather tell my children what's going on than hide it from them, so that when they are older, they can make informed decisions. And I don't hide it. I am signed up to the organ donor register. My daughter signed up when she was 16. My son is signed up and is also signed up to donate blood, as well as their father, my sisters and brothers, the whole family. And it is a common topic nowadays, because I do this every week. They ask, oh, what are you talking about this week? And that's the conversation. Today is my birthday, and my sister called me from the States, and she casually, praying for me, casually mentioned my condition. That is progress, where previously we didn't even consider it as a topic to discuss. I think the next topic I need them to get used to is death, because every time I mention it, they don't want to listen. Especially my younger sister. She was like, no, no, no. Mama, I cannot listen to you speak like this. Let's change the subject. They always very quickly change the subject, because it's an uncomfortable one. But it doesn't have to be uncomfortable. You can have that discussion with your family, with your children, with your relatives, so they understand what you need. And I think one of the things they don't like to talk about is when you ask them if they've written their will. Oh my goodness. So I was with a patient last week in hospital, and apparently the admin or the nurses had spoken to them about writing a will, and they did not want to listen. They didn't want to hear it. And I said, oh, I do have one. And she looked at me and she said, you have one? I said, yes, I wrote one. Because after having two multiple organ failures and having four septicemia episodes, oh my goodness, you have to do something about it. And that calmed her down, that if somebody so young can write a will, then, you know, it's not that bad then. And I said, no, it's not that bad. You can do it. It's just to put your affairs in order. You're not saying you're going to die. You're just saying, I want to be prepared so that there's no fighting amongst my children, because that happens. So at the end of the day, she was relieved that this young girl who is supporting her has a will. Anybody can have one. So it's the same thing about talking about the transplant journey, about organ donation. I'm not saying that, you know, you should expose everything. But that power you feel of telling your close ones that this is what is happening in our family, to prepare them for whatever would come that might never come. But when you have that conversation, it helps even them to have the same conversation with their children when that time comes. When I started speaking publicly about my transplant journey, I was terrified, believe me. I was wondering what I was going to say. But it wasn't because I was ashamed, though, but I wasn't used to being seen in that way as a kidney patient. I thought people might pity me, but what I found instead was connection. Just this afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I was online on a national organ donation day celebration in India, and I shared my story, and everybody who were online actually connected with me, and there were loads of comments in the comment box, and that told me that I'm actually doing something good. There is nothing more fulfilling than changing even its one person's view about organ donation. And as I said, people reached out to say, some people were saying, I'm going through the same thing. And one person said, you've given me the courage to go and speak to my family. And another one said, I told my mom, after listening to your show, because it's an international organ donation celebration, there were loads of people on the platform. I didn't even know that people listened to this show. But that is somebody who came online and saw me there talking. And if you're listening right now, thank you very much for your comments in the comment box. It actually boosts my confidence. So speaking of opening a door, it's not just for you, but for everyone else who is afraid to knock, who is afraid to open up and speak. Because the more you come out, the more you encourage others to open up and speak. That is why I do this every week. So let's take a pause now to the next song, which is If You Ask Me by Omar Wumi. It speaks directly to our habit of not talking, even when we know something is wrong. So I hope that the lyrics in the song would help you to reflect a little bit more and start opening up and making it a habit of speaking out to people around you. I'll see you back here in a minute.
If you ask me, now who I go ask, no matter where we see. Tell me that no be me go talk, be heavy for mouth. If you ask me, the matter for ground. Now who I go ask? If you ask. I go out. The reason why I'm soliloquizing. Yeah. The things where I see, where I they hear, I know go like past me. Oh. I want to tell the story, but I've got to tell it from the starting. Yeah. About a man. Begin if you ask me, now who I go ask, no matter where you see, so, you tell me start, no be me go talk, be heavy for mouth, oh, if you ask me, no matter for ground, now who I go ask.
go high. Oh, hey, now who I go ask? Hey, the story where I talk, it be like say I did play. But all this type of things, they happen every day. Speak out or take some action, I beg you, no delay. No make matters once pass as a day. As a day.
Wow, that was If You Ask Me by Omawumi. Did you enjoy that? I did. I was bopping away in the studio because I really loved that song. I think that's my favorite song now. Well, I don't know, maybe the next song, but believe me, I really enjoyed that. If You Ask Me, now who I go ask? Yes, If You Ask Me about organ donation, now who I go ask or now who I go talk to? It is you listening right now. It is your family. It is my family. It's my friends. Not them. Now I go ask. So, we've come to this next segment. Let's now talk about transformation. We've named the grief. You've acknowledged the silence. You've dared to speak. Now what? This final segment is about reclaiming the pain, not to erase it, but to repurpose it. You use that pain to get people to come close. I used my pain as a kidney patient. I was growing up. I was living my life. I had my kids. All I wanted was a third kid. And here I am today, a kidney transplant patient. Imagine the pain of losing two children, two pregnancies, and not only losing those children, but then becoming very quickly unwell. And 17 years later, here I am. What you survive can become what you serve through. I'll repeat that. What you survive can become what you serve through. And that is my story. I survived kidney disease. I survived transplantation. And in that survival came a desire to speak to people, to tell people about my journey, to encourage them to speak about their own journey, to raise awareness about their health, how they can look after themselves so they don't go down that road I did. Although mine was sudden, but some people progressively move towards a kidney disease journey. It's not a pretty one. It is not an easy one. It is one that will try you, that sometimes you just don't want to live anymore. I turned my health journey into advocacy, into this community radio, into education, into a kidney foundation, both here in the UK and back home in Nigeria, and into hope. Because I don't want anybody else to go through what I did. You don't have to do what I did or what I do currently, but you can start where you are. Maybe it's a WhatsApp group. Maybe it's mentoring a young person with the same diagnosis. Maybe it's just being the one person in your family who finally says, let's talk. Every time, every opportunity I have, I talk. I meet you, a new person. Yesterday it was my friend Epi's birthday, and we went to celebrate with her. But I still found time to speak to some people on my table about my journey. And you could see the way they were thinking. And I hope I've touched somebody to have that conversation when they get home to talk to their families. You are not only your story, you are the purpose that can grow out of it. You can change a lot of minds. You can change a lot of people. Let's keep that spirit of connection alive with this next song. And that is Awuke by Davido. It's a love song on the surface, but today, let's hear it as a call to love ourselves enough to tell the truth. So here is Awuke by Davido, and I'll see you back here in the next few minutes. Like I did, as I said, when Omawumi was singing, I said, this is my favorite song. And depends on, you know, this second song, and you must have seen me dancing away, you know, doing all the little moves that I learned, and you know, that is one of my favorites. I guess it's the beats. However, we've come to the end of the program, and I've had so much fun speaking to all of you today. And today, as I celebrate another life, another year of life, August 3rd, I want to say again, thank you. Not just for another year added, but a powerful reminder that I'm still here, still speaking, still living, because someone, somewhere said yes to donation. To my donor family, your sacrifice lives on through me. You didn't only save my life, you gave me the strength to speak, to share, to serve, I don't know you, but I carry you with me every single day, Ryan. You gave me the most selfless gift anyone could ever receive, a second chance at life. This show, this breath, this purpose, it's all possible because of that act of love from your mother. To anyone listening, you may not realize the power your story holds. You may be the reason someone else chooses to live, to hope, and to speak. So please share it. Someone is waiting, not only for a transplant, but for connection. And that too can be a second chance. So as we wrap up tonight, I hope you remember this. Silence may protect secrets, but truth protects lives. And your voice, your story, your healing, it matters. We will talk about how to talk, how to prepare, and how to break cycles next week. And we would explore next week on Second Chances what children need to know about our health. Because protecting them doesn't mean hiding the truth. It means preparing them with it. And may you always find the courage to speak, even when it shakes. Until then, Odaro Usiku Wema, that is Swahili. I hope I said it right, my sisters. And Kachifonu to those Igbo people. And Okiahwe, that is in Etako, which is my language. Be well, be kind, and may you always find the courage to speak, even when it shakes. This next track captures the sense of gratitude and grace. It's Lion King by Nibo M. Let it soak in. And remember, every time you keep silent, somebody else suffers. I know you're gonna love the song. It's from Lion King, the movie. And I'll see you next week. Good night and God bless. Thank you.
Life calling, my name. listening to Radio Africana.